जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी सोदनंदन ब्रजजन रंजन सोदनंदन ब्रजजन रंजन यमुनातीर वनचारी यमुनातीर वनचारी Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 So today we are reading from Canto 10, Chapter 11, and we'll be reading texts 14 through 18. So, text 18 should be on the board. No, text 14 is on the board. All right, so we'll chant that one. Kridantam sasutam palair. Kridantam sasutam palair. Ative lam sahagrayam. Ativelam sahagrayam yasodayohavid krishnam putrasnehasnutastam and the translation for text 14. Krishna and Balaram, being attached to their play, were playing with the other boys, although it was very late. Therefore, Mother Yasoda called them back for lunch. Because of her ecstatic love and affection for Krishna and Balaram, milk flowed from her breasts. Purport. The word Ajohavit means calling them again and again. Krishna and Balaram, she called, please come back. You are late for your lunch. You have played sufficiently. Come back. Text 15. Krishna, Krishna Ravindaksha, Tata Ehistanam Piba, Alam Viharai Shutshantaha. Krida Srantosi Putraka. And the translation for text 15. Mother Yasoda said, "My dear son Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, come here and drink the milk of my breast. My dear darling, you must be very tired because of hunger and the fatigue of playing so long. There's no need to play anymore." Text 16. He Ramagacha Tata Su Sanuya Kulam Nandana Pratai Kritaharas Tad Bhavan Boktum Arhati. The translation for text 16. "My dear Baladev, best of our family, please come immediately with your younger brother Krishna. You both ate in the morning, and now you ought to eat something more." Text 17. Pratikshate tvam darshaha bokshyamano vrajadipam ehi avayo priyam dehi svagriham yata balakam. In the translation for text 17. Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braja, is now waiting to eat. Oh, my dear son Balaram, he is waiting for you. Therefore, come back to please us. All the boys playing with you and Krishna should now go to their homes. And a short purport for text 17. It appears that Nanda Maharaj regularly took his food with his two sons, Krishna and Balaram. Yasoda told the other boys, "Now you should go to your homes." Father and son generally sit together, so Mother Yasoda requested Krishna and Balaram to return, and she advised the other boys to go home so that their parents would not have to wait for them. Text 18, which is the last text. Duli dusarti tangastvam putra majanam avaha janmarksham tedya bhavati viprebyo dehika suchihi. And the translation for text 18. Mother Yasoda further told Krishna, "My dear son, because of playing all day, your body has become covered with dust and sand. Therefore, come back, take your bath, and cleanse yourself. Today the moon is conjoined with the auspicious star of your birth. Therefore, be pure and give cows in charity to the Brahmanas." Purport. It is a custom of Vedic culture that whenever there is any auspicious ceremony, one should give valuable cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Therefore, Mother Yasoda requested Krishna, quote, "Instead of being enthusiastic in playing, now please come and be enthusiastic in charity." Yagna dana tapa karma na chayam karyam eva tat, as advised in Bhagavad Gita 18:15. Sacrifice, charity, and austerity should never be given up. Yagna danam tapas chaiva pavanani manishinam. Even if one is very much advanced in spiritual life, one should not give up these three duties. To observe one's birthday ceremony, one should do something in terms of one of these three items, yagya, dana, or tapa, or all of them together. Again, Oma Gyana Timurandasya, Gananjana Shalakaya, Chakshuri Militam Yena, Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manopistam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Svayam Rupakadamayam, Tadati Swapadantikam, Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sakrijatam Sahagana, Raghunatam Tamsav. Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Itamsham Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavan Ishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rivyasha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Rumpada Swami Iti Namine Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschacaya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'll just read text 14 again. Kridantam sasutam balair advilam sahagrajam yasoda yahohavit krishnam putra sneha smutastani. In the translation for 14. Krishna and Balaram, being attached to their play, were playing with the other boys, although it was very late. Therefore, Mother Yasoda called them back for lunch. Because of her ecstatic love and affection for Krishna and Balaram, milk flowed from her breasts. So Mother Yasoda is calling Krishna and Balaram, please come back. You're late for your lunch. You have played sufficiently. Come back. So Srila Vishwana Chakravarti points out that Mother Yasoda called the boys from a distance. The reason being that she feared that they would run away if she came too close. Of course, one has to bear in mind that the initial motive for Mother Yasoda to have Krishna and Balaram come back was in fact to see their beautiful forms and pastimes, which in fact had been the reason that initially we had read that she had sent Rohini earlier to bring back Krishna and Balaram. So this is stated in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, the particular reason for her motive to have Krishna and Balaram come back. So there was that reason of having them come to take their lunch, but the actual reason was that she wanted to see their beautiful forms and pastimes. And one can recall that Rohini had in fact failed to bring back Krishna and Balaram. And in fact, Krishna had ignored Rohini's request. And he'd kept up his enjoyment with his friends. So her request appears, I mean, if one looks at how Rohini worded her particular request to Krishna and Balaram, which she'd also called out from a distance. There's a little slight difference compared to how Mother Yasoda approaches it, But the message was the same. So this is how Rohini had put it. Have you forgotten to come home due to your absorption in playing? You are perspiring profusely and must be famished from so much playing. Now stop playing and come along with your enchanting elder brother and friends. Take your bath, dress properly, and satisfy Mother Yasoda by sitting down and eating sumptuously. So, Rohini is also communicating to the boys, Krishna and Balaram, that they should return to give satisfaction to Mother Yasoda just by eating sumptuously. So, this satisfaction that Mother Yasoda is seeking is what provokes her parental love, or that Vatsalya Ras. So there's a listing given in Nectar of Devotion of this provocation for parental love, and I'm going to list some of the items that provoke parental love, and this applies to both Mother Yasoda and Rohini, because they're in that position, and to Nanda Maharaj. So it's Krishna's blackish bodily hue, because this is usually very pleasing and very attractive to see. Another provocation for parental love is his auspicious bodily features. This is described at different ages, so round about, I guess, his very early age, you know, one reads a description of he's looking very stout, and then when he grows up a little, there's the limbs get more elongated. Another provocation for parental love is his mildness, his sweet words, his simplicity, his shyness, his humility, and his constant readiness to offer respect to the elderly, and his charity. So it's interesting, because by the time we get to the end of this series of verses, Mother Yasoda is reminding Krishna that he will need to return in order to give charity to the Brahmanas, because this particular day is his birthday. But this is a natural quality he has, and it's what provokes parental love. So even the sequence that's being followed here, everything is a provocation for parental love. Her seeing Krishna, seeing his beautiful form. and as it progresses, having him give charity, which is naturally there in him, being charitable. So in the past times of, and this section is entitled Lunch at Home, Mother Yasoda is particularly desiring to see Krishna's blackish bodily hue and his all auspicious bodily features. And in text 15, we have Mother Yasoda repeating Krishna's name several times. And of course, this is done from far off, but not so far off that he cannot hear. So it's in order for him to hear. this is mentioned by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in particular, that this repetition of names is to particularly enable Krishna to hear. So the repetition, and then we have that experience that with repetition one gets aware of something. So She sang, Krishna, Krishna, Aravinda, Daksha, Aksha. O Krishna, my son, lotus-eyed Krishna, O darling. So that constant repetition to allow him to hear or attend to her calling. Then Mother Yasoda addresses Krishna. O my darling son, today is your birthday. So you will be bathed with auspicious articles. You will receive the blessings of the Brahmanas, who are the veritable demigods of this world. Your father has brought opulent clothes for you. Now come home and take your meal with your father and all the assembled Brahmanas. So she's given more details to Krishna of the stressing the importance of his returning home. Naturally, through his playing, the body has become dusty. In the present time, if one visits Vrindavan, the particular land is got tarmacked, and one could almost forget there's this very fine sand throughout the area. And so, at any rate, we understand that Krishna's plane has produced a lot of dust. So his body's extremely dusty. So she's telling him he needs to return in order to bathe. But of course, there's also the bathing that needs to take place because there's a ceremony that's going to be performed because it's his birthday. And he's going to receive some very opulent clothing. His father's bought him special clothing for his birthday. And she repeats the message, now come home and take your meal with your father and all the assembled Brahmanas. So he's actually coming to a major event, so to speak. So it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada infers that Nanda Maharaj regularly took his meal or his food with his two sons, Krishna and Balaram. And this is mentioned in text 17. And in fact, as per Srila Vishwanath, Mother Yasoda told Krishna, your father is sitting, but he will not eat without you. Why are you giving hunger pangs to your father? So she raises this question. Because Krishna's delaying it. I mean, Rohini's gone. She hasn't been successful to have Krishna stop playing. Now, Mother Yasoda is coming. And she's giving a very powerful reason. I mean, two extremely powerful reasons for why he needs to stop and return. And this is an interesting one. Generally, one might think that, some parents function trying to control their children through guilt. This isn't so healthy. One might look at the statement that Mother Yasoda is making, or she's telling Krishna, your father is sitting, but he will not eat without you, so that's a fact. But then she asks, why are you giving hunger pangs to your father? So either, one could assume that Krishna knows this fact, that his father won't eat until he and Balaram arrive. Or it can be just that Mother Yasoda is informing him that this is the consequence of his delaying the eating. His father's hunger pangs are increasing. And we'll come to this because actually because Mother Yasoda is such an extraordinary devotee, and her perfect love for Krishna doesn't include this guilt component, and I'll come to it in a minute of what the approach of Mother Yasoda actually is. But just in connection with this, immediately when she makes a statement to Krishna, she also addresses the other boys, and she tells them, all the boys, so not directly addressing them, but they're hearing her, all the boys playing with you should now go to their houses. Your parents are also in difficulty, meaning that they're also waiting to eat, or their eating is getting delayed, like us, so please go and satisfy them. So Yasoda is giving reasons for the boys to stop playing, and hunger pangs are being caused to Nanda and also to the parents of the other boys. Now, this mood of Mother Yasoda, of parental love, it's generated out of a conviction in love that she herself is superior to Krishna. So, you know, taking into account that she's performing service to Krishna, she has this conviction in her love for Krishna that she's superior to Krishna. And that without being taken care of her and by Nanda Maharaj, Krishna couldn't possibly live. So this is that state of love. And this mood naturally has nothing to do with on a regular material level where parents, you know, may be attempting to control their children through guilt, you know, implying that they're suffering because the child is failing to do something. It needs a very unhealthy dynamic. This is quite different because everything is impelled by great love that actually Krishna can't survive without her. That's actually the thing. So it's not that, you know, Krishna's causing them distress. It's like she actually believes that Krishna can't live without them. So Krishna's completely dependent on them. So her merely mentioning, you know, you're prolonging some hunger pangs, it's very insignificant from the point of view of the conviction from which she's expressing things. So there's an interesting prayer, or rather I'm going to read two prayers that are said by devotees. They're quoted in Nectar of Devotion too, because when one hears the prayer of a devotee, it gives one insight into the personality that's been addressed and how that personality is understood, because sometimes it's difficult to understand a very elevated personality. So hearing the prayers of other exalted devotees to that great personality, like in this case Mother Yasoda, gives us insight into Mother Yasoda. So so here's the prayer. So hearing it in terms of getting some insight into Mother Yasoda as a personality. So this is a prayer quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, summarizing in Nectar of Devotion. Let me take shelter of the elderly parental devotees of Lord Krishna. They are always anxious to serve Krishna and to maintain him, and they're always so kind to him. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto them for being so kind to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the parent of the whole universe. So what's highlighted, you know, one can understand actually, Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj have this extreme kindness towards Krishna. So it's obviously a very nurturing mood. the prayer also is highlighting this aspect of them viewing themselves as being superior to Krishna, and that Krishna's entire existence is dependent upon their nurturing of him, in their ecstatic love for him. And this prayer is pointing out that Krishna is actually the parent of the whole universe. So it would seem like a complete reversal of roles, really. So Krishna looks at this dynamic of himself versus his devotee. And in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, we see how Krishna is seeing the devotee in relation to him. So taking into account, he's really the parent of everybody, but here is Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj being parents of Krishna. So Krishna puts it this way. And this may sound, you know, a little bit different language because it's spoken in a different context, but it's pointing to the nature of relationship with him. He says, I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds. So, parent of everything. Everything emanates from me. So, everything's come from him. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So that's the nature of the relationship. It's actually acknowledging Krishna's position and then worshipping with all one's heart. So this is Madhya Yasoda. She's actually with all her heart serving Krishna. And in this particular verse 10.8, it's particularly drawing attention. So Madhya Yasoda doesn't fall into that category because she's eternally serving Krishna in that capacity. But even if one looks at devotees who are acknowledging, you know, the exalted position of Madhya Yasoda, like what's quoted in Nature of Devotion, a devotee praying to Madhya Yasoda, this verse of 10.8, that the wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that such devotees have studied the Vedas perfectly and they know how to apply the teachings of the Vedas. So they can understand that Krishna is the origin of everything. So this is fundamental, a fundamental understanding to be able to worship Krishna, knowing that he's the origin of everything, both the material and the spiritual world. So that's Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, Mata Sarvam Pravata Te Iti, Matva Bhajante Mam, Buddha Bhava Saman Vitaha. And so it's that same level of devotee who's able to offer obeisances to Mother Yasoda, acknowledging her kindness to that same parent of the whole universe. So she's been kind to Krishna, who's the parent of the whole universe, but she's in the parental role in her love for him and how she's serving him with all her heart. So Mother Yasoda was so affectionate towards Krishna that as soon as she had come out to call him, and this is mentioned in the verse that's on the board, text 14, her breast filled up with milk. So the love stimulated the flow of milk, which is what she's going to offer Krishna. So so those persons at the highest level of bhakti are convinced by this knowledge. And so out of their love, they have an intelligence which allows them to worship Krishna. So the intelligence develops through the studying and understanding of Krishna's position. So it works together, the knowledge and the devotion, they go together. It's interesting, in all cases, and I'm focusing a bit, I think, on this prayer because this is how, you know, one is understanding a great personality such as Mother Yasoda. In one's attempting to worship Krishna with all one's heart, one is actually looking for protection for one's devotion from these great personalities. So one says a prayer to Mother Yasoda, looking for her protection for one's one's devotion. And I found another prayer, which again gives insight into Mother Yasoda. So that prayer is, let me be given protection by Mother Yasoda, and well, I'll read the prayer and then I'll comment. Whose curly hairs are bound with thread, whose hair is brightly beautified by the vermilion placed in the pot, and whose bodily frame derides all her ornaments. Her eyes are always engaged in seeing the face of Krishna, and thus they are always filled with tears. Her complexion, which resembles the bluish lotus flower, is enhanced in beauty by her dressing herself with many colorful garments. Let her merciful glance fall on all of us so that we may be protected from the clutches of Maya and smoothly progress in our devotional service. So it's prayers to these great personalities are very meditative, so something of their physical form is there because one is addressing that personality and is meditating on that personality, and at the same time one is acknowledging that great personality's devotion to Lord Krishna. So in this particular case, there's mention her eyes are always engaged in seeing the face of Krishna, which resembles the bluish lotus flower. In seeing the face of Krishna, and thus they're always filled with tears. So there's, I was recently visiting New Jersey this past weekend, and it was the marriage of a particular young woman. There were two sisters, and they grew up in the Sunday school, and both very beautiful externally and internally as devotees. And the mother, when I read this description of Mother Yasoda, I'm reminded of the mother. The mother always has this, the eyes are, she's always in a mood of love towards her two daughters. So, and she has very large eyes, and there's always this kind of loving gaze that she's throwing towards her daughters. So I was witnessing that through the course of this marriage ceremony. So anyway, it was just reminding me acknowledging of Mother Yasoda's always wanting to see the face of Krishna and having eyes that are always filling with tears. So, and then the request of Mother Yasoda, let her merciful glance fall on all of us so that we may be protected from the clutches of Maya and smoothly progress in our devotional service. Because one understands there's great strength in Mother Yasoda, devotional strength, and so one asks for her glance to fall upon one. So when I was thinking about these prayers, I was thinking how in preparing for doing any devotional service, whatever it may be, whether it's one's chanting, one's study, which was mentioned here that was so important, even one's performing a kirtan, one's cooking an offering, there has to be a kind of preparation for doing that particular service. And I found my, because I was thinking of this, I looked at a very nice book by Satsvarup Maharaj called Obstacles on the Path of Devotional Service. And he's devoted an entire book to looking at, you know, different difficulties one runs into in attempting to perform service. And I particularly focus because somehow this topic has come here of the importance of the understanding that Krishna is the source of everything, and that that understanding comes through study. I thought how it is that one prepares oneself, even for doing something like that, studying about Krishna. So, say one is going to prepare oneself to chant or to read. So, Satsvarup Maharaj, he puts it this way. One has to take a moment and remind oneself of what it is that one's going to do. So, he puts it this way. Now, I'm going to read Srimad Bhagavatam, a very special book. Let me do it with reverence and submission. This is not ordinary reading. So one literally has to, you know, focus. So one speaks to oneself and points out what it is one's about to do. And one acknowledges that this isn't an ordinary activity one's going to do. And one even says, let me do it with reverence and submission. So it means that one can be aware that there's a transition that one has to make from ordinary consciousness to that of speaking and hearing transcendental sound vibration. So, before reading, even something simple, one would think, reading, one has to calm oneself and enter into a state of worship. And the same could be said for, you know, about to undertake cooking an offering, or even about to undertake worshipping the deity. So one has to calm oneself and enter into a state of worship. And that's a lot done by reminding oneself what is that activity one's about to perform, what's the purpose of that activity. and only then can one actually go through the motions of what one needs to do, be it even something like reading or chanting, of course, which is a very big thing. So here's another example how this is practiced generally. So before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadev, the author. So that's in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.4. So this is that practice. You're acknowledging, you're offering obeisances first to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to Narayan Rishi, and to Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So that kind of acknowledgement and the mood of reverence needs to be there. So one's preparing one's consciousness for sadhana. So it requires developing a method. I mean, this is one example of a method. You're acknowledging everybody related to that aspect of worship. So in the same way, one has to develop some method for approaching a service one's about to perform so that one can enter into that mood of worship. I mean, in some sense, looking at Mother Yasoda and her addressing Krishna, she's doing it from a distance and then she's coming closer. So from a distance, she's expressing his name over and over again. From a distance, she's just saying to him, you need to come. So very, very gentle. And then she comes closer and explains, you know, does her service. Okay, these are the reasons you need to return home. So it's just preparing one's consciousness for the activity that one's doing, that service one's going to perform. And in the analysis by Satsvarup Maharaj, he says, well, Krishna gives one method. He puts it this way. This is from Bhagavad Gita 12.8. So this is a method given by Krishna. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me without a doubt. So engaging the intelligence. So that's that part of like speaking to oneself so that the mind can get focused. And so in fact, one comes to offer one's intellect to Lord Krishna. By concentrating one's mind upon him, this allows one to become very close to him. In fact, one's living very close to Krishna always. That's how Srila Baladev Vijayabhusan puts it in relation to this idea that you will live in me without a doubt. So one actually gets very close to Krishna when one has been able to fix one's mind and offer one's intellect to him. So offering the intellect is that conscious awareness and understanding and even speaking to one's mind of what one is about to do. So this disciplining of the mind, like in relation to chanting, it's helped by doing one sadhana at the same time in the same place. So, you know, even the externals can help to prepare one's consciousness. So if one does that, you know, one has one set time, one set place, then it also allows one to execute what one needs to execute without interruption. So one won't be disturbed, because especially set aside that time, that place, same time, and then one can perform one sadhana more in that proper mood of worship. Because if the mind is not calm, then it's going to other things. Maybe the phone will ring or whatever, something. So now there's a nice completion to this particular little pastime of Mother Yasoda coming to call Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book says that in fact, as soon as Krishna and Balaram heard that Nanda Maharaj was waiting for them and couldn't take his food in their absence, that's when they started to return. So the first reason was adequate for them. It was such a strong reason. Oh, Nanda Maharaj is waiting. They immediately started to return. So this is just a short examination of these four or five verses. If there's any comment or thought.
Hare Krishna, Mother Krishna, Arshana Mataji. Thank you for your class, and
thank you, Jai Baladev.
Thank you for your enthusiasm in all circumstances, whether there are people here or whether there are no people here. I came late and I saw there was nobody here, but you still was just as enthusiastic, and that's one thing I really appreciate, because the tendency is that generally most of us speak, and this is appreciation of you and not a fault finding of others, but the tendency is that when there's nobody here, put on Prabhupada tape. And nobody stays for it, so it's not like we're trying to get purified by Prabhupada. So that's one thing I appreciate. You prepare for the class, and you were going to give it whether somebody was here or not, and that's what Bhakti Siddhanta says. So we suppose the following example, the Acharyas. He says, if nobody comes to any program, preach to the four walls. And back then, technology is good, but we see that back then it was beneficial to not have technology, because you can't get lazy. Put on Prabhupada tape. Or put on, you know, artsy table, put on group. Soon we're going to have so much technology that we'll, tapes will be doing all the programs. So hopefully it doesn't get like that, but it is Kali Yuga. So anyway, thank you for that. So your enthusiasm.
Thank you.
You were mentioning Obstacles to Devotion, that article by, or what was it, an article by?
A book.
So my question and comments related to that point, the verse mentioned today, so forgive me for not properly connecting the points, so I'll do my best. Anyway, I can't find a verse right now, but anyways, this verse essentially mentions that Mother Jasoda, out of affection for Krishna, her breast milk began to, what's the proper word, emanate, flow. And she wanted to feed Krishna and Krishna Balaram. And if I had to practically apply it to this life, this kind of reminds me of, because no woman knows how basically how breast milk is coming or anything's coming, how our hair is growing. It's just coming automatically by Krishna's will. It's not like we know the biology of the body. And nevertheless, since she had love for Krishna, she wanted to feed him like any mother or any loving father. And we hear from our teachings that when we have love of Krishna, we have love for everyone, or at least we should, at least theoretically speaking. And practically, how can that be applied? Just like Mother Jasoda wanted to feed baby Krishna, when we want to feed others Krishna consciousness so they'll remain strong in their spiritual life, then that's a symptom of our love. But when we want to get rid of them, that's not necessarily a symptom of our love, that's a symptom of our influence of Maya. And one thing that Krishna says in the Gita, chapter 10, verse 10, Satatam yutanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yena maupanyati te. When we have priti purvakam, love for Krishna, he gives us the milk, the knowledge. And what is that milk supposed to be used for? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Bharta bhumi te hoila manusha jamayar jama sataka kari kata pada upakar. When we feed ourselves this milk, by Krishna's mercy, he gives us the milk. We're supposed to give it to others also, just like Mother Jasoda gave the milk for Krishna's nourishment. We're supposed to give this milk. So my question, not necessarily a question at the moment, but sometimes in our spiritual life, thought-provoking thing that I appreciate about the many teachers who inspired me over the years, that they made me question my own consciousness, because the question generally comes up among devotees is, I don't have time, a sufficient enough time, to feed myself sufficient Krishna consciousness. You know, especially if you're a householder, you're working, I don't have time. There's a few points, a couple of points that I like to bring up. One point I really appreciated from my brother. When he was in London one year, several years ago, he gave a lecture at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and he made a very good, profound point. He says when he entered, he's given a hypothetical scenario that generally happens among devotees. He says, so suppose a devotee enters a brahmachari ashram, and he tells the devotees, my dear Prabhus, you know, there's nice hari katha, you know, feeding your mind with Krishna consciousness going on downstairs. Would you like to come? Then the general response is, Prabhu, I'm so tired. You know, I just got that from book distribution. You know, I just need to, you know, lie down. And so then he's like, okay, that's fine. So then the devotee leaves. Then a couple of minutes later, the devotee comes back. Prabhu, there's nice pizza and cheesecake downstairs. Boom, 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 boom. They get out immediately. And immediately empowered. So this is not necessarily such a bad thing, being empowered by the senses for, let's say, Krishna prasadam. But we could see how enthusiastic we come for our sense gratification. Not only that, one thing I've, for my own self-honesty, is that if I ask myself, how much time do I have Krishna katha, I think we all could ask our question, what is the ratio we spend of hearing lectures of Prabhupada and reading Krishna katha, and what is the, compared to the ratio of how much time do we use on social media, pressing the like and dislike button for hours, or watching YouTube, watching two-hour movies, or watching pornography all day? Maya is so merciful that we may say, I don't have time for Krishna katha, but I've known over the years, Maya's been so merciful to me. When I say I have no Krishna katha, she'll open up all day for me for pornography. See, that's how merciful she is. And that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Amar Jiva, my life, he says, I resist all pious deeds, but I'm very active and enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. Why? Because we're empowered by Maya. So my question is that if we don't have, one thing I appreciate about the scriptures, maybe you could expand on these points, and but we hear from the scriptures, just like the pastime, Nalakuvana Manigriva. If we say we don't have time for Krishna Katha, then great saints like Narada Muni will make time for us. Either from their mercy or from our aparas, because we're not remaining, we're hungry with envy. Like, just like if we feed ourselves with Krishna consciousness, we're satisfied. But if we don't, what happens? We're starving for attention, starving for, you know, because we're hungry. Envy is like hunger, pride. These are like the bad qualities that keep us hungering for more prestige, more honor, more respect. And due to this aparas, if we don't want to make time, that's what I realized in my Krishna consciousness. If I don't want to make time for Krishna, then I know Krishna will make time for me, but it would be a much more embarrassing way. So what do you say to somebody, based on some of these points that I appreciate over the years that I've heard, what do you say to somebody, maybe you could expand on these points, to somebody who says, I have no time or sufficient time for Krishna katha? Anyway, we'll switch off. I said, I don't know how to turn it back on, so.
Yeah, that's a significant question you've raised, Jai Baladev, and very much connected to the topic of what does one say to somebody when they say they've got no time for Krishna katha. Well, I think it's shortly after the verse that I was quoting, where Krishna's actually describing, I think there's four verses in the 10th canto, where Krishna's describing the bhakti of devotees. And one of the verses is that persons spend time enlightening one another about Krishna. So it's an integral component in bhakti to have an exchange on a verbal level where one is sharing some insights that one has on Krishna with another devotee, and vice versa. So it may take time to develop taste for doing something like that, because the mind will shut down a little bit and move elsewhere, because one thinks, oh, maybe one knows this fact. But if one is trying to hear from the heart level, then what a devotee is saying about Krishna enters, and then one feels actually affectionate towards that person, that they took the time to share the little understanding they had of Krishna. So it increases one's affection for devotees if one allows oneself to open one's heart a little bit to hear what a devotee wants to share about Krishna. And it's recommended by Krishna that that's part of one's bhakti, enlightening one another. So it's, if somebody is reluctant, it means there's not taste for that. And that's, part of ongoing cultivation of bhakti, even what one doesn't have a taste for. One knows that it's the recommended thing. So one tries to follow the recommendation. Now do this and it'll assist you. So Krishna's giving that. One needs to take that time to associate with a devotee and share some understandings. It nourishes one's bhakti, and it also allows for one to develop affection for devotees. Reluctance on the part of somebody, well, one never can force anybody to do any particular thing. And if the person races towards the pizza and the cheesecake, very good. That's fine. A lot of pizza and a lot of cheesecake, prasadam, awakens more bhakti. So it has the same effect in some sense, but the closer connection with other devotees comes through Krishna Katha and enlightening one another. So one is happy that the devotee is enthusiastic about prasadam, and if you see they're not so enthusiastic about, like your brother was experiencing, to spend their time enlightening one another, then one is happy that they're enthusiastic about prasadam. And over time, the taste develops. So one is just patient. And I'm sure your brother in that position where he's teaching a lot and he's particularly enthusiastic about studying. his own enthusiasm will certainly not be lost. Because even the devotee who's making has a preference for the prasadam will come to that point of sharing a little bit of enthusiasm for study. It's a natural progression, because you cannot separate knowledge and bhakti. They go together hand in hand. They're parallel tracks.
I think, I don't know why they switch and back on anyway.
Interesting. Must be because you're enthusiastic to speak.
No. Thank you for your answer. And see, I forgot the point of you mentioned that I appreciate your answer. Anyway, I forgot the point I was going to mention regarding your answer. Thank you for your answer. One last point I want to share is...
sorry, you may have to take this.
Just share one last point that was brought to mind about having no time. It's funny, this particular subject matter of having no time for Krishna Katha is Prabhupada specifically mentions it in regards to Yamaraj. He explains this in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 13. And I think it's in the first verse, but anyway, check that chapter. That whole chapter is about Yamaraj and his incarnation as Vidura. So basically, in one particular part of this chapter, first canto, chapter 13, Prabhupada mentions that among all the demigods, Yamaraj is the one who has the least amount of time for Krishna Katha. Why? Because he's always punishing the sinners. That's like somebody being at a security job watching people's sinful activities all day. Now, that's not a very nice job, watching security cameras all day, watching people's various sinful activities. And you're like, that's not good for the mental impression, so what's to speak of Yamaraj? So this is very funny. So Yamaraj, he had to desire. Actually, we can't really do anything without desiring, and Krishna reciprocates without desire. So Yamaraj had the desire that I have no time. Actually, Prabhupada says, Yamaraj, Prabhupada mentions that he's a Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans. And it's the Mahajan's duty to hear Krishna Katha and give Krishna Katha. But Yamaraj, he has no time to do that because he's always punishing the sinners. So in this pastime, you could read it in Prabhupada's purport, like I said, the first canto of chapter 13. Yamaraj prayed to the Lord, I have no time for Krishna Katha, can you arrange something? So it depends on our desire. So long story short, the Lord arranged some whole dramatic scene where, some dacoits enter a great sage's house named Manduka Muni. This sage name was Manduka Muni. And so these rogues were running from the constables, the police. And the police entered the house of the sage and arrested everyone because they thought everyone was guilty. So they made a mistake. So basically they were going to kill all the rogues, including the great sage. However, the king found out before they killed the great sage, the king knew that this was a great sage, and he apologized to the sage, please forgive my constables for making a terrible mistake. So he released the Manduka Muni. So Manduka Muni, being a powerful sage, he knew that nothing can happen without Yamaraj's sanction. So he went to the planet of Yamaraj and said, what's up? You know, why'd you try to kill me? You know, how do I get this karma? And so Yamaraj says, when you were a child, you took a pen and you stuck ants with it. And this was the punishment they were going to do to Manduka Muni with like a spear. And so Manduka Muni says, this is ridiculous. I was only a child. I shouldn't have been punished for this, because it described the Yamaraj. He could see within the heart of everyone. Usually when we make judgments, we can only see the outside. Yamaraj and great saints like Mother Earth, the sun, the moon, the demigod, they could see our intention, so they can never make any mistakes. We make mistakes in judging others. So, yeah, but it's described in his pastime that Yamaraj made a mistake by Krishna's will. So basically, Manduka Muni, he cursed Yamaraj, that I curse you because you made this mistake. I curse you to be born on earth as a Sudra. He got a pay cut. He was a king, Yamaraj, and then he got a pay cut as a Sudra. So he was born on earth as Vidura. But he was more happy as a poor, you know, Sudra. He wasn't really a Sudra, but it's a long story, but he was more happy taking a pay cut because he spoke and heard Krishna Katha for 100 years. And then when he came back to his post, somebody actually substituted him. Somebody took his job for him while he was as Vidura for 100 years. And naturally, when you go to a vacation and you come back from the vacation from your terrible job, you could be able to tolerate your job much more because you're always reminiscing. So when he was born as Vidura for 100 years, he was always relishing Krishna Katha when he went back to his terrible post as Yamaraj. So I'll just mention his pastime is that if Yamaraj, we have no excuse. He's doing it for all eternity. He actually has no time, and that's what Prabhupada says. But we have time, and it depends on our desire. Yaya tam mam prabhante te tam tataiva bhajami aham. Krishna says, to the degree you surrender unto me your desire, then I reciprocate. And that reminds me of one quote. It says, life is like a trumpet. If you don't put anything into it, then you won't get anything out of it. So it depends on the desire. And if we don't have desire, then like Krishna pastime, Krishna will give us plenty of opportunities in the form of some karma, you know, some offense we made, and then we'll force that make time for ourselves, but it's much more bitter. So, anyway, I'd just like to share that pastime that I appreciate. All right, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for giving such a nice example to illustrate somebody with a great taste for Krishna Katha and even desperately wanting an arrangement to allow for it. It's like the something of having enthusiasm for attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. So thank you to Jai Baladev. So I'll end here since it's time. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I'll have a look. I'll have a look too. It's nice.